Good afternoon, I'm Kate Manahan. Thank you for joining me for this 51st edition of New Mainers Speak. This is a weekly half-hour program where you can hear firsthand about the lives of some of Maine's immigrants. During the show, we visit with individuals regarding their life stories and enduring hopes as New Mainers. Today, my guest is Ali Al-Mashakil, who arrived here in Maine 1 year ago from Baghdad, Iraq. Ali was on New Mainers Speak last summer, but has come back again today with a chance to talk about how his family has adapted here in Maine over the course of 1 year. They have three delightful school-age children, Ahmed, Yosef, and Lulu. Welcome, Ali. Thank you for being here with us today.
Thank you very much, Kate. Thank you for giving me this opportunity to be with you on your also first anniversary for your show. Thank you very much.
Yes, thanks.
New Mainers Speak.
Yes, I've been here a year and you've been here a year.
Which is good.
A lot can happen in a year.
A lot. Yes, for sure.
Yeah. So since the show has now been on the air for 1 year, it seemed fitting that we might look at all that can happen in the life of a family that's just arrived in the United States. Can you tell us about where you were 1 year ago today and briefly what brought you here to Maine?
Actually, we are not here exactly 1 year. We arrived here March 27th. Last year, March 15th, I was actually in Iraq. And we already had a phone call saying that we will be moving to the U.S. And great hopes, great with the joy that we are finally going to come or going to be in the U.S., which is a big dream for a lot of us as a family. And on the 25th, we started our journey. We moved from Baghdad to Jordan. We spent the night, and the second day early in the morning, we flew from Amman, Jordan, into New York. And on the March 28th, we were here in Maine, Portland.
So over the course of the year, what steps towards citizenship and kind of what are there any legal steps you have to take once you're here?
Yes, we did actually. You have to spend a year here in the U.S. to start the process of getting your green card. Actually, we are a refugee. And for the Iraqis, there are two programs, one called the SIV and one called the refugee program. The SIV, they get their green card upon arrival. Like after 1 week, 2 weeks, sometimes 3 weeks, they get the green card, the families or individuals. But in my case, it's a refugee, you have to apply for the green card within 1 year. And after the application, you wait for the biometrics. And then it's like after the biometrics, 3-4 months, you might get the green cards. But we are in the process of waiting for the biometrics.
Hmm. Yeah. And you mentioned how much a green card costs. Could you tell us? I think that's funny.
It's the application is for free, but it's the vaccination. If it's here at MMC, every individual should have to pay $72 for the papers to be completed, to be accompanied with your application. We pay here $72 every person for the vaccination. It's not the vaccination; it's for the paper to be sent with your application to the immigration.
The process that goes with the medicine.
Yes.
Huh, very interesting.
But we did a lot of vaccinations.
How many?
Personally, I don't know. It's like a lot of injections. I would say 7-6 for me, the same for my kids, maybe even more for my wife. We did a lot.
Do your kids, are they opposed to having shots?
Well, they are kids for sure. So. But one of the things we liked, actually, the flu vaccination, so one of them is it's like nasal. Oh. You know, it's not an injection. We were very happy with this. It's really? It's not an injection.
Right. There's so much to adapt to when arriving in a new country. I wonder if you can tell us about how you've come to view American life during this past year. How do you perceive what you're seeing?
It's a big question, but on a personal level, I look to the security, I look to the cultural differences, I look to the friendships I made, I look to the opportunities I was given, I will also like to have, as a journalist also was given a chance, I was profiled by the Bangor Daily. I wrote my first column for the Bangor Daily. I did my first public speak with the World Affairs Council here in Maine. I was hosted here also on the radio by you here, Kate, on the New Mainers Speak. I also one of the guests for New Mainers, for the Maine Calling. I did my first trip outside of Maine, and I've taken the kids to Boston to see the aquarium. It's big, a lot of things. But if I allow me to tell you, for example, about security changes. I remember telling you that it was like three burdens over my shoulders when I was in Iraq. Here, it's different. It's not the same as it was in my country. For my kids, they love the place, my wife and I. We feel secure in a different way. This might be a negative way of this story, but I remember on the Independence Day, my child, Yusuf, was crying because of the fireworks, really crying, and it took me like 10 minutes to tell him this is, it's just a sound, it's and the light, you know, don't need to be afraid. And in his mind, and also in my mind and my other family members, it's the car bombs, the IEDs there, you know. So this is one of the angles we look to. It's how we feel secure in a different way. You know, after all, America has its own security problems, but I'm not talking about the international way. You know, it's a community, and there are good people, bad people, wherever you go. So it's like from this point you looked, it's not the car bombs, the IEDs, the bad things that happen. We were afraid to go outside, but here, for example, we are not afraid to go outside. We move around. We can stay late, though we didn't, but it's in our mind. We can stay late outside our house. We can move. We can go wherever we want. We are not afraid. We are not afraid to be killed or harmed. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. From the security point of view. If I look from a cultural point of view, I think I told you this story. I remember one of the days I was participating in a meeting. It's a monthly meeting for the World Affairs Council. I was returning and to the bus station. You know, we were discussing big things, foreign policy, American foreign policy, what's happening in the world. And I was there in the line into the bus. And suddenly the bus driver stopped the two people in front of me and did not allow them into the bus. It's strange. It never happens in America. They are entitled to go into a bus and use the public transportation. But he said, no, you should go down. He did not allow them into the bus. And to my surprise, these people, a man and a woman, they had rats as their pets in their body, inside their body. And just the head of the rat, and I remember both of them were white, and the driver was afraid. And he said, no, you can't. You have to put them in small cages or small boxes. This is dangerous for the people. So it's there. It's like a cultural shock. See these people having pets. You know, we are accustomed to dogs or cats. And then you have somebody who's carrying a rat as his pet. It's different. I know that we are in America and everybody's free, but I'm sure it's not only me who's saying that this is different for sure.
I love this story because I've never waited in a bus line and seen people rejected for carrying rats, but it is such an American phenomenon, right?
Yeah, in comparison with in the same days, like an hour ago, you were with a lot of great minds and we were discussing the American foreign policy, what's happening, how these big things, you know, and some of them are schools, some of them are ex-ambassadors and big ideas, and then you find somebody who's talking or having, it's different. This is one of the cultural differences, I'm sure.
I like that those are juxtaposed, and it kind of speaks to the anything's possible, right, here in America.
It has its positiveness, I'm sure. Yes, mm-hmm. Yes, everything is possible in the U.S.
Including keeping rats as pets in your clothes.
In my own logic, you know, maybe I'm sure these people have their own logic to carry. They are free to to have whatever they want. But My logic, personal logic, would say no. If I would go for a cat, for example, you know,
perhaps a cat
or a rabbit. When I was a kid, I used to have a rabbit.
But you didn't take it on public transportation in your clothes.
For sure.
At one point, I think you said that you have been impressed that you were not just thrown into the water and expected to swim here. And I wonder what kinds of things you were thinking about specifically that were supports for your family as you came here to the United States. You didn't just arrive on March 28th and March 29th, you're on your own.
Yes, I agree with you. We were received, actually, I have my brother who've been here before me, 2 years before me, but we were received by Catholic Charities. And we were into a program called TANF, and also I have an Aspire worker who supports me and pushes me and also helps me to find a job. And I'm already doing podium interpretation here in Maine. And I have this story. I think it's very expressive. It's personal, but it's not me. It's where you are not thrown into the sea. One of my first assignments working as an interpreter was in a kindergarten. And I was there sent to interpret to three kids and 4 and 5 years old. So, and they don't speak English. They only speak Arabic. So the way I see it that you pay the same amount of money for an interpreter to interpret for a governor or a child, 5-year-old child, you know, this as an interpreter. But there I see these kids that they are not there alone. They bring somebody so that they understand the culture, they understand the teachers. And I stayed with them for 2 weeks until they managed to understand and be into the system. Then I was barred from the job. But I see it how these three kids were not just thrown there. They were helped. They were giving an opportunity to understand, to get into. So it was a real head start for them, not from an educational point of view, but from into understanding what's happening and understanding how to understand.
That's a great example. Mm. Have you accessed Portland Adult Education at all for further supports in English? Your English is darn near perfect.
Not in English. My wife is in the fifth level, and also I have three kids. One of them in the fourth, but not the adult education. But I mean the whole
fourth grade.
Yeah, fourth grade for. And I have two kids in the Head Start, which is amazing, and this is the best thing we had. It's the schools here, and the teachers are amazing. My kids love their school; they love it. And I think it's really educational. They are learning a lot. They are learning the culture. They are learning the perfect. And we are becoming Mainers, even in pronunciation.
Oh, really?
Yes.
What do you pronounce as a Mainer?
I don't know, but I mean, I'm sure their teachers are pronouncing, telling them how to pronounce in a Mainer way, I'm sure. For me, I don't think I have this touch. It's because I was taught British English, and I think still have it. I don't have not that American accent. But I'm sure if you speak to Ahmed, Kate, you did, and you will see that he's speaking as a Mainer. You know, he's a new Mainer, but his dialect or his accent is a Mainer.
It's very common that children don't have their parents' accents because they're more
integrated into the
school and the local dialect, and they're quick learners.
Yeah, and also this is my. My wife was a teacher in Iraq, and now she's as I told you in the adult education, the fifth level, and also volunteering with AmeriCorps here in one of the schools here, and she loves it here. The culture is different, the teaching culture for the teachers, for the kids, she loves it here, and the way the kids learn is different, the way the teachers is teaching is also different. It's completely different culture environment for our kids and for my wife, though she's a teacher.
Is it more individualized here? Less of one teacher in the front of the room of pupils?
The same thing, but the way I see it there, the the way I also found how I understood it from my wife. In our country, there it's just writing and reading, you know, and math. But here it's different. You are going to school to learn, play, interact. Mm-hmm. It's not the traditional way of learning. Here it's interacting. I think all the world is changing, but I think in my country it's not yet. It's still the old technique or the old traditional way of teaching. It's like a teacher telling his students, yeah, what to do. It has some positive aspects and negative aspects, I'm sure. Only one thing here, my wife is, I think, how the way I know, I think it's not that big respect to the teacher. Some kids or some students or pupil, they lack this. They go beyond the red lines of how to handle your teacher or listening or not. Sometimes it's affecting the way you listen to teacher. You know, it's not. I'm sure you, Kate, you did this. You look to the teacher as your father or your mother or somebody you have to respect. He's teaching you and giving you his experience and giving you a way, your future in his hand. You have to respect him. You have to listen. It's not you have. It's, I'm afraid of using the word have, but moral obligation, it's your own interest to listen and do what he or she thinks is right for you.
And you're saying that's different here. Some of the children don't necessarily hold that same respect that you're familiar with.
Yes.
Does Ahmed, the 9-year-old, does he recognize the difference the way teachers are treated?
For sure he recognizes the teacher. He
I
knows.
He's surprised. And
he's very aware of the negative and the aspects. Mm-hmm. You know, in comparison there, it's like strict. Teachers are very strict there. As I told, it has some positive aspects. But here teachers are very good. But he's using it in a positive way, in a good way. He understands that these teachers are always saying, these are telling you what's in your own interest, for sure. They think of you. They are dedicating their life to teach you what is good for your future. Hmm. Go, read, listen to them. Read what they ask you to read. Do the math the way that they want it. They are giving you the juice of their life. And you have to drink this juice to be more mature.
Well put. You are listening to WMPG, Southern Maine Community Radio, broadcasting from USM. I'm Kate Manahan. This is New Mainers Speak. If you're just joining us, welcome. My guest today is my friend Ali Al-Mashakil. And he is not only a lovely person from Iraq, but he has been here in the United States for 1 year. And we're talking today about the kinds of things he's observed over the course of the past year. We've been talking about education, and I just wanted to add one piece to what you were just saying about how the children respect the teachers, and that's much more common in Iraq, and it's much more loose here. When I used to teach school, I taught at King Middle School, I was always struck during parent-teacher conferences, my children whose families were from other countries, their gratitude to me was palpable. They would come in and thank me so much for dedicating my life to sharing knowledge with their children. It meant so much. It was so very different than my parent-teacher conferences with American parents, some of whom were also very grateful. But I think I feel some of what you're talking about with this culture of respect for teachers.
And I can give you here in front of me a very good example of good students here in Portland. I have here a book in front of me. It's called Coming to, and I'm proud of this book because I'm one of the people who were interviewed in this book. It's called Coming to America, Journeys of Immigrants to Portland, Maine, Volume 3. This is by the Windsor 7 students of King Middle School, Portland, 2015. And I went to their school in, I think, November. And four students, on the seventh graders interviewed me, and they asked me a lot of smart questions with respect, and I really loved the way they were asking me their questions. It was very journalistic, and I even told them this. And Lillian, Diane, Francis, and Abdul, the four kids, and they interviewed me, and I have here in front of me, even I'm carrying the book, bragging about it in front of Kate with a photo with these four students, and with me and a cartoon for me also, Lilian. And it's like it's these four students will write what they the answers and write a story about it. And out of the four, Lilian won, and her name and her story is in the book, Lilian Gates, Ali Alma Shakil. And she even wrote, she did draw a small picture for me, which is amazing. And these kids are the future of Pain, and they are very smart. And I wish if my, also I am praying and also hoping that my kids will be like them, and they are the model. So these are the good ones. These the ones that I think Portland should be proud of. I mean, the other kids here by Kiru Pile, by Akwan Mejuk, by Isabella Levine. You know, the stories I'm reading, the names of the authors, by Owen Deng, by Fiona Twembly, Hosei. They are great. And here they wrote me like autograph with their names. Thanks for sharing your story with us. I'm proud of this book.
You have found your way into the hearts of people throughout the community, from five-year-old children for whom you translate, seventh graders whom you go and speak with, and they interview you and write a story about you and draw your picture in a book. You've spoken at the World Affairs Council, and you've been all over the place. You're an impressive networker. I'm always really impressed to see that you've covered more and more ground since the last time we'd spoken.
Thank you very much, Kate. I love Portland, and I love the people here. They are very smart, very gentle. They want to help. They open their arms for me and my family, and they are thinking of us. They are helping us. They want us to be better. They want us to leave a thumbprint. They want us to be engaged, to be integrated in the society. And at the same time, we keep our language, our culture, the positive integration. I remember this. It's like I read this. It's one of the demonstrations in Europe. It's like 4 or 5 years old memory. It's talking about and I'm connecting to what's happening in the world now. That's why I'm mentioning this. I remember this photo, and I'm reading this. It says, in Europe, I remember, integrate or emigrate. It's talking about the immigrants who were there in Europe. And some people think they are bad. But here, integrate the way you want. Integrate and leave a thumbprint. Integrate and tell us about your culture. Integrate and we will help your people to understand English, and at the same time provide interpreters for them to understand our English. It's beautiful. I'm not saying we are here in paradise, or in my mind, in comparison where I and my family were living, it's very good environment to prosper, to flourish, and to leave a thumbprint.
To feel safe, to learn, and to contribute
to your community here. Mm-hmm. Now I said my community. This is my place here. We are proud to be part of this place as a family.
That's a wonderful thing to hear. Do you feel like this first year met your expectations of what you thought the United States would be like?
Yes, to some extent. The main thing was, a lot of good aspects I just mentioned to you, but my main goal did not accomplish. My main tactic goal, and it's not the big strategical goal, is to get a job in journalism, which did not happen yet. You know, as I told you, I'm doing some interpretation, and it's not even a full-time job. But my dream, as I have, you know that, and I think mentioned this many times, is being a journalist here, journalism, working in a think tank and helping the Americans or people here to understand my country or my region. I think I understand it culturally, politically, understand what's happening there, predict what could happen there, and I think I might help the people here understand more my country and and the region where I come from.
It's an important contribution because it's not something most Americans really fully understand. And you understand what's going on here and you understand there. You're a wonderful bridge for understanding.
Yes, as a bridge. But we are still learning here. This is a very important thing, actually. We are still learning the American culture. We are still learning the academia here. As you know that I'm also a student at USM. And it's a great opportunity to be the bridge and to be given this opportunity that to become a bridge between where you come from and where you are now and help both. And it's I'm sure if more Americans understand what's happening there, this will have a positive impact on my people there, that the way things will be handled there will be in a good way, in a positive influence.
The world's getting smaller and smaller. It behooves us to understand one another.
Yes, yes, for sure. It's smaller, but unfortunately smaller, but sometimes we don't listen to each other. We are like one face to face, but we don't listen to each other. My country is a big example. You know, the coexistence been there for hundreds of years, but now it's in few years, it's like dismantling and lack of listening, lack of comprehending the other is what's causing. Though it's face to face, they are sitting in the same parliament. They are sitting maybe they are chatting on the same page on Facebook, but they don't listen. Everybody wants what's in his mind to be heard. That's it. And this is one of our problems, I think.
We need more bridges.
For sure.
So what are your hopes for the coming year, for year two for your family in the United States?
I think first to get our green card, for sure, you know, to be on the safe side. The second is to have more opportunities to travel around, to see the country. You know, it's almost a big, you know, 50 states. It's an amazing country. And as I told you, we've been to Boston and we've been just to the aquarium. I think Portland or Maine is one sample of the big American culture. We are proud that we are here and we love it. But also, if we move, it's not going up, but if we have the chance to travel around, see more cultural differences, see more people, it has two impacts. We will evaluate more what we have, and also we learn more and maybe put more contribution into where we are now.
Ali, not only are you about the most joyful and loving person and couple and family that I know, you also bring so many strengths with you to this country, personally and professionally. You are loving and supportive parents, great students, contributors to the community, and delightful friends. I wish you all the very best in your second year in America, and thank you for being willing to come on New Mainer Speak again today.
Thank you very much. It's an honor, and also thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak to the Mainers and also to be part of your celebration of your first anniversary. Thank you very much.
I would like to give special thanks to all of you for listening today. I'm Kate Manahan in the studio with my guest, Ali Al-Mashakil. We will close today's program with a song he has selected for us, and I wonder what made you choose this particular song today, Ali.
Actually, my kids love it. It's the first song I think they listen to here in the U.S., and it's been with us for almost a year, and they love it.
I think you'll know why.
It might seem